I'm Dr. Ann Money, and we are at the Oklahoma Aquarium in Jinx, Oklahoma.
And you've been here quite a while.
I have. It's hard to believe, but moved here about 23 years ago to open the place. So it's part of my life, that's for sure.
Surprisingly, one of the things that attracted me was your sharks. In Oklahoma?
Not only are they sharks in Oklahoma, they're the coolest sharks in Oklahoma. So we have bull sharks. Mm-hmm. They're the only one we know of that can live in both fresh and salt water. And in fact, the book Jaws, when Peter Benchley wrote Jaws, it was actually based on a story about a bull shark.
Oh, wow. So yeah. They're not very friendly.
They're not super friendly. No.
They will bite you.
Well, if you mess with them. if you mess with them, yes. I'm sure they would bite you, but they don't want to eat us. We don't taste good to them.
But nonetheless, they're some of the stars of your whole aquarium, aren't they?
The bull sharks really set us apart from really any other aquarium. We have the largest collection in the world, and we're the only people in the Western Hemisphere that have bull sharks. That's a big deal because people want to do research with bull sharks. They have the strongest bite force per pound of any species of sharks.
Wow.
So we have people who want to come and test out shark-proof and shark-resistant gear. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration tests our mooring lines, and we feel very strongly that having these animals here in the middle of the country, people travel from everywhere here to work with them, and we want to keep our doors open to that.
That's really cool. Are there other aquariums around the country that have?
I want to say that the aquarium that has close to what we have is in Okinawa.
You have some other stars here. I loved your giant sea turtle. That was very cool.
We have a beautiful sassy sea turtle named Seymour and his brother, and they grew up together here. He's extremely social, so he's so much fun for our guests. And
really? I'll give you an example of how they socialize.
So he will actually come up to the acrylic and get nose to nose with our guests.
Wow.
He's playful. He'll actually splash people with his flippers over the top of the exhibit. Yeah.
So kids gotta love him.
Oh, I think it's the best part of their day if they get splashed by a sea turtle.
And then octopus. That was really cool.
Thank you. Yes. I actually have to say the giant Pacific octopus is probably my favorite animal. They are just so intelligent and so beautiful, and they have 9 brains. It's just insane. Yeah.
Give me an example of observing her intelligence.
So they're problem solver. They can unscrew jars. They can figure out how to get into complicated toys in order to find food. And so they need enrichment. You interact with our octopus all the time because just like a person, they need that interaction. And so it's really...
So they probably get lonely if they're not interacted with.
Well, so each octopus has a different personality. Mm-hmm. And you have some that will dislike one person. So one person will walk up to the tank and the octopus will spit water at them. Yeah. And is it a smell? Is it sight? What is it that cues them in?
Yeah.
And then we have other ones that are extremely playful. In the wild, they're very solitary though.
Interesting. Talk about corals for a moment. That's one of your areas of specialty.
Well, now you're in trouble. You asked me to talk about coral. So I look at the biofluorescence in coral. So people know about bioluminescence a lot, that fireflies.
Sure.
Biofluorescence is a different way of making light. I look at green fluorescence, which is a very common fluorescent color in coral.
In the coral?
Yeah, yeah. So they're proteins that are within the coral.
Do they light up?
Yeah. You have to excite them with, there's a certain wavelength of light that you use. It's a blue light, just shy of the UV range, and you excite those proteins, but we can't see it. We can't see that wavelength, so we actually have to wear yellow filters because the blue reflected light is all you would see, but you put those filters on, and all of a sudden, you're on the Vegas Strip.
Coral are so amazing because they're dead ones are rocks.
Right.
But yet they're so animate. got to remember they don't have brains.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, people often will think that they're plants, and I can understand why.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So, and they.
So, what are they? You know,
They're an animal, and they're a colonial animal. So, what's really cool is if you're looking at a coral that has, you know, branching coral, and you see all the little spots on them, those are all individual animals. Wow. That's all their individual mouths. They just live collectively, and they share a stomach.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
And they will fight with other coral. They'll use chemical warfare. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. They are really good at what they do.
Wow. A little bit more about corals, man. This is amazing.
The thing that I think is the most amazing about coral is that people don't often realize how valuable they are to us. So they make up about 0.1% of the planet, but 25% of all marine life lives on a coral reef at some point during their life. It's nursery grounds. Mm-hmm. So little fish become big fish that we catch and we like to eat. So the reefs themselves bring in millions and millions of dollars just from food. Mm-hmm. And then you add in tourism to that. And then I think probably the most, to humans, the most financial value is shoreline protection. So when you have a really healthy, strong reef, they absorb that wave energy that comes from big storms out at sea. So they help protect that shoreline from the waves just pounding directly and eroding and causing flooding and all the damage that comes with those big storms.
And there have been efforts of reseeding, right? Of introducing coral.
Yeah, so coral are having a hard time out. The increased sea surface temperature breaks down the symbiosis that they need with an algae that lives inside of them.
So like in Florida recently, when you talk about the coral bleaching, what you're really saying is coral death.
For a long time, we thought if a coral bleaches, it dies.
Yeah.
But coral are actually clear. Their tissue is clear on top of their white calcium carbonate skeleton. What gives them their color is the algae that lives inside of them and fluorescent and non-fluorescent proteins.
So even though they've been cooking at 100 degrees C temperature, that doesn't mean they're dead.
Well, they might be.
Okay.
So we used to think anything bleached meant it's dead,
right,
it's gone.
Right.
But we're having bleaching events that are happening closer together, and what we're finding is that coral can survive. If they repopulate with that algae, they'll survive that event. And what's so cool is that they're much more likely to survive the next bleaching event.
Wow. So there's a evolution going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like epigenetics. Crazy sci-fi stuff. But what I really look at and what I think is so important for us to know more about is what they repopulate with, what species of algae, because some algae give them better protection against heat. So is it because they're taking up this different species of algae that allows them to survive? What is it?
With that learning curve, would it be possible to introduce that specific algae to a colony of coral?
Well, now you're talking about my next phase of research. I hope that I will have an answer to that at some point in time.
But logic would say
probably. Yeah, I would hope so. And you were talking about reseeding and replanting. Mm-hmm. We really don't have any other mitigation techniques. We don't have a way to protect the coral or restore it. But what we do is we can take fragments of coral and grow them in nurseries and then replant them.
Interesting. Is coral a really important indicator species?
Coral is the indicator species, in my opinion, because it's so vital for the health of the ocean to have healthy coral. So when our coral aren't healthy, that's really telling us our oceans aren't healthy.
Okay, we got a little off topic.
Oh, yeah. We seem to do that.
Is the coral on display for the kids when you have school groups come here?
So we have live coral tanks that are in the galleries that kiddos can come see, all of our guests can come see. But what we also have is a research lab. And when I was first doing all the fluorescence research, and I will do this again in the future, I would bring students to the lab so that they could see it. They could see science in action. They could see research in action. And they could see marine research happening right here in the middle of the country.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So those are, I know, by default, game changer moments for a lot of these kids that could change their whole direction in life.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. That's why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you've been here long enough that you probably have some grown-ups come back that first came here.
I do.
When they were in school.
Yeah. I actually have had... I've had kiddos that were Aqua Teens here. They were volunteers that went on to be marine biologists.
Nice.
Because of their time here.
Yeah.
I've had people come back specifically to visit with me to tell me how impactful it was coming here. I mean, that's what makes everything worth it, right?
Yeah, I love it. Well, we're out of time. We're going to get you home. End of the day. To learn more about your world.
Yeah.
Where would be the go-to place you would direct us?
So our website, okaquarium.org, that has a lot of information, and I talk about my research through the website.
Mm-hmm.
You can Google it. You can Google biofluorescence and coral.
That's really cool. So once again, website is?
okaquarium.org. And my name is Ann Money.
PhD.
PhD, yeah.
I love it. And you're the director?
I am the executive director of our foundation. And the director of development and research.
Cool, and you get to come out and talk to the kids quite often.
I do.
Yeah.
I have to get away from meetings and and then go out.
Got a important mission.
Well, yep. I've got to go talk to a shark and a kiddo.
All right. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Oklahoma. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.